Whoa, why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited, and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. OMG, super excited to have all of you joining us here today, those that are hanging out on the phone lines, those that are listening in from Twitter and from Facebook and from iTunes and from our mobile app. We say hello. Oh, and Charvette.com. Can't forget that. We say hello, and I'm telling you what, today's show is packed jam. I think you're going to love it. Let me tell you who's going to be up on the show today. So I have hanging out with me our first guest in the virtual studio, Julia Allen. If you've been checking out my Facebook and my Twitter, I've been talking about my guest for the last 2 days. Listen, she's a 45-year-old wife, a mother of three, and a two-time heart attack survivor. And she's going to be sharing her story and giving us information. She went to work feeling fine and then started getting progressively worse and realized she was having a heart attack. And so we're going to hear about that. And then in our second segment, we have an author spotlight. Excited to have back on the show with us a friend of the show, Ty Moody. We are excited to have her back. Certainly, I've worked with her over the years and doing blog tours and book tours. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. And she's here to talk about her latest book, When Perfection Fails. Listen, Reverend Jonathan Freeman and his lovely wife, Lenora, are quickly becoming Charlotte's It couple. And all eyes are on them as Jonathan is named pastor of a church following the death of his father, and Lenora has become a sought-after wedding planner. The Freemans are media darlings and a model couple, the picture of perfection, or are they? Yeah, so we're going to hear more about that. I know you're ready, like, oh, I'm ready to go download that right now. Yes. Tyora Moody, When Perfection Fails. And then in our third segment, we'll be chatting it up with Pastor James L. Monteria. He's joining us. He is an author. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He has a book out, his newest book, his latest book. He has several of them out, but his latest book is called Blessing Beyond the Blue and Horror Beyond the Grave. And so there's a lot of talk. There's a ton of talk about heaven lately since the new movie that's out, Heaven is for Real. Well, he's going to be joining us today because his book is talking about heaven, and you can feel free to tweet, inbox your questions about heaven or hell. He's prepared and ready to tackle your tough questions. All right, so let's move on in to our first segment. Again, I'm excited to have Julia Allen joining us. OMG, Julia's heart on Facebook, and I'm telling you what, the opening of her bio and media information that I received said, I think I'm having a heart attack, is what I told the hospital register before collapsing. So certainly that grabbed my attention. So I'm bringing Julia to the mic right now. Julia, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hi, Charvette.
Hello.
So glad to be here. So glad to be here today.
We are glad to have you and glad to have you share your story and really your life's mission to help us all out, to help us all out. So I'd love to start from the beginning. Friday, April 15th, 2013, when all of this happened, kind of walk us through that day. Take us through a day in the life of Julia on that day, Friday, April 15th, 2013.
You know, Charvette, it was a typical morning like any mom. You know, I got up early, about an hour before my kids. I got dressed, you know, showered, fixed their breakfast. You know, I'm running around because they can't find socks, shoes, lost homework. You know, your typical crazy morning. It was a normal day. I felt totally fine. I got to work that day. I sat down at my desk. I started working, and I said, you know, I don't feel right. And I remember two of my teammates had been sick earlier in the week. They had had, you know, similar like flu-type symptoms. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm blaming them. I'm like, you know, you guys have gotten me sick. And, you know, it seems like I've gotten the worst of it.
Uh-huh.
I felt nauseous. I was very lightheaded, dizzy. And when I say nauseous, I mean like nauseous and nausea and heartburn, like it's almost indescribable. And so I thought, you know, I didn't want to take off work because, you know, you only have so many sick days. You try to save those when your kids are sick. So I just told myself, you know, I said, you know, if I just go in the bathroom and I throw up, I'll feel better, you know. And I said,
right.
At least get through the day. I can get through half a day, you know, and then I'll go home at lunchtime and take a nap. That's what I was thinking. You know, went in the bathroom, and it just got worse. You know, the room is spinning.
Wow.
I'm dry heaving. I can't throw up. And I just feel really, really bad. So I ended up, I probably like fell asleep, you know, on the floor. I just laid there, and I kept telling myself, okay, calm down, calm yourself down. You're working yourself into a frenzy. So I did some, you know, some deep breathing, started to calm myself down. I probably sat there for 30, 45 minutes. I started to feel better. I know, right? This is crazy, right? I started to feel better. It's really nuts. I got up. Came back to work, you know, I said, oh, I got to get on this conference call. You know, that's what we do as women. You know,
yeah.
We just keep going because we're always, you know, looking after everyone else. I sat in on a conference call, and I remember I kind of leaned my head back on the wall, fell asleep. I woke up, and I thought, gosh, I'm feeling worse. It's the same symptoms, but now they've gotten worse, okay? So
wow.
I went on the computer, and I looked up my symptoms. And I remember going, and the first site I came to was WebMD, and it's basically I had 6 of the 7 symptoms of having a heart attack, and I didn't believe it. I said, you know, no, I'm not having a heart attack.
Right.
So then I went on the American Heart Association. They have a site. It's called Go Red. And on that site, they have women who share their stories of literally what happened to them when they had a heart attack. So I started reading story after story after story, and it was like, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. So now it's starting to sink in. So I called my husband, and I said, you know, this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm still talking now. I'm probably well into a heart attack right now.
And you're
I'm
still
talking,
at work. You're still
I'm
at work.
I'm at work, yeah. And so I'm having this conversation, and he's like, I can't really repeat what he said, but, you know, like, why aren't you going to the hospital is basically what he said.
Right.
And so, you know, what do? We start counting dollars. That's what I do. You know, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'm going to sit in the emergency room. There's not going to be anything wrong. I'm going to waste the day. I got all this stuff I need to get done today, right?
Right.
You know, I'm not calling the ambulance. I don't want to pay the bill. So the compromise between my husband and I was that I would call my doctor and I would just make a doctor's appointment. Call the doctor, say, you know, this is what's going on. And the doctor sends the nurse back to the phone, and she's like, yeah, we will not see you today, and you need to go to the hospital immediately. So because my doctor told me to, I say, okay, I take off, you know, the remainder of the day. By now, it's probably 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Oh, in the meantime, I had gone to the store, got some chicken soup, and some crackers, because, you know, chicken soup makes everybody feel better, right?
Yeah. That solves everything.
I had driven to the store, gotten some soup off the soup and salad bar at the store, eaten it, and then that's when I called my husband, called the doctor, and then all that happened. So I, you know, tell my husband, my manager I'm leaving. I get in the car, which is one of the biggest mistakes you can make. I drive myself to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, it occurs to me that my kids won't be able to get in the house because, you know, the day is not normal. I may still be stuck in the hospital. So I stop at my house to leave a key for the kids. I make them a snack because they're going to be hungry when they get home. Then I drive to the hospital. Yeah, then I drove to the hospital. So I get there, you know, I said, you know, I think I've been having some symptoms of a heart attack, and by the time I get that out, I literally can't stand on my feet anymore. I'm done. And it's like there were truly God sent his angel down that day.
Yeah.
Somebody go down there and get this fool and carry her to the hospital. Because literally, I'm telling you, I was talking. I was normal, just like you and I are having a conversation right now. By the time I got out of the car, walked into the hospital, and when I got there, I couldn't stand anymore. I was done.
My God. And you later found out or figured out that you had probably had a heart attack early that morning.
Wow. Right. Probably about 8:45 that morning was when I had the first one. And so then that night I started feeling the same symptoms, and I had a second one. And see, people think we have this picture of what happens in the movies, that you grab your chest and you collapse and you fall on the floor. And
yeah.
Not necessarily what that can happen, but it's not necessarily what happens. And in women in particular, it typically is, that is not the case, and we miss it. Because I'm very well, had it been up to my own devices, I would have just gone home to take a nap because I thought I had the flu.
I may not
be having this conversation with you right now.
And you live to tell it. You live to tell it, because there are many people who have had heart attacks and they did not. They had one, and they didn't make it out the way
exactly.
You did.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
You expect pain. And women in particular, quite often, there is no pain. See, I didn't have pain. I was uncomfortable. And the way I would describe it, Charvette, is if you picture mm-hmm. yourself wringing out a dish rag just really tight, it mm-hmm. felt like that in my chest. It felt tight. But that tightness in combination with the nausea and the heartburn that I was feeling, you know, you just kind of thought, wow, this is really bad. I really need to, you know, I need to throw up or something. But
yeah.
It did not pain. It did not hurt. What really convinced me what I knew I was having a heart attack was when I felt the tightness in my jaw. And, you know, you just remember seeing that, you know, that when you
right.
have symptoms of a heart attack, the tightness in the jaw and the pain down my arm. And I was also having pain in my back shoulder blade. And the pain, it's uncomfortable and it radiates. But it's not this sharp pain where you're going to grab your chest and fall on the floor like what you think and you picture a heart attack. And people really, really need to know that.
And really what you say also, I read on your site and your information, is that the personal, the real life stories of women who had written their symptoms
yes.
that you saw on the American Heart Association's website really, really put kind of the stake in the ground and say, this is really happening to me. And
absolutely.
You've actually been able to speak for the American Heart Association. They've called
yes,
you
I've been
to speak
doing some
and,
volunteering.
Yes.
It's my goal now. I'm like, you know, God, he let me live for a reason. There's a reason. And I just, it is like my goal in life now to educate people on this disease. Heart disease is actually the number one, the leading cause of death for women, even more than cancer.
Mm.
And most people don't know that. 1 in 30 women die from breast cancer each year, but 1 in 3, Charvette, 1 in 3 dies from cardiovascular disease.
My goodness. So talk to us about the risk factors. What is it that we can control, and what is it that, you know, what are the risks that we need to have in mind? And in particular,
so
I think for the African-American community. Yes, tell us.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. Well, first off, for African-American women, cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death for African-American women. It kills nearly 50,000 women annually, and we don't know. I mean, I didn't know that.
Right.
Of African-American women who are aged 20 and older, Charvette, 48.9% have cardiovascular disease. That's half. Half of African-American women over the age of 20 have cardiovascular disease, and we don't even know it.
My goodness.
It's staggering for us.
Yeah.
Some of the things to think about, you know, are you at risk? There are some controllable factors and there are some uncontrollable factors. In my case, heredity was very high for me. There's a lot of heart disease in my family. My mother had a heart disease at 62, I believe. My father has heart disease. I have a maternal grandfather who had heart disease. So there's a lot of heart disease for me and my family. Increasing age is an uncontrollable factor. Race is also an uncontrollable factor. You know, members of some races, particularly African Americans, you know, are higher at risk. Now, there are some factors that, some things that we can do to control it. There are some controllable factors. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, lack of physical activity, obesity and being overweight, diabetes, smoking. All of those things are things that we can control. You know, when you talk about weight, for women in particular, a waistline greater than 35. And a waistline greater than 40 for men, it's really not good, you know, to carry that weight in the waistline. A blood glucose higher than 100 is pre-diabetic, and greater than 125 is diabetic. Cholesterol that's greater than 200. There's just lots of things that we can do, particularly with our eating and our weight and our blood pressure that we can do that can help to control our risk of getting heart disease.
All right, listeners, there you have it from Julia Allen. Hello, those that are tuning in from Twitter, Facebook, the phone lines. Yes, we are getting information from a voice of experience. Not something read in a book, but something that she lived and live to tell about it. Oh, my goodness, two-time heart attack survivor. And you say also that you and your family have now completely just changed the way you live. What are some of the changes in the steps that your family has done?
Absolutely. Well, me in particular, you know, I have tried to make, you know, a more heart-healthy diet for our family and for me in particular. And it's the small changes, you know, eliminating the sugars. You know, we don't have to have juice and, you know, Kool-Aid
at every meal.
You know, my goodness, right? Water.
Yes.
You know, put some lemon in it or some lime or crushed fruit or strawberry. And just flavor your water with fruit. That's huge. You know, we were never soda drinkers, but soda, oh, my gosh, do I even have to talk about that, the amount of sugar in sodas.
Yeah.
Definitely putting more fruits and vegetables on our plate when we eat. We have just about eliminated red meat from our diet. We're a lot, you know, pretty much turkey, fish, more grilling, how you prepare your meat. Even if you do red meat, it's the choice of the meat, the cut, the fat content. Are you grilling? And you know, just totally eliminate frying. You know, so I grill, bake, broil, increasing grains in our diet, lowering the fats and the carbs and the butter and things like that. For me, particularly, Charvette, I've tried to even eat smaller portions. I don't do well with dieting and telling myself I absolutely can't have something. I'll be honest with that. So you know what I do? I now eat my dinner on a smaller plate, like a saucer.
Okay.
You know, I just put it on a smaller plate. And, you know, my family, we always try to make a goal to eat together. We really try really hard to sit down at the table and eat dinner every day. So when you're eating, slowing down, chewing your food, you'd be surprised. You'd be full and, you know, you continue eating because you're eating so fast.
Yeah, just trying to get to the next thing or a next agenda item or next checklist. And I love that your Facebook page and your Twitter page, and certainly, listeners, we can't give you all of the tips in this short amount of time, but if you follow her on Twitter and go to her Facebook page, I love that you're sharing articles and different tips about health and definitely heart health all the time. So tell our listeners how they can follow you on Twitter and also connect with you on Facebook.
Absolutely. On Twitter, it's Julia's Heart 1 on Twitter, and on Facebook, it's Julia's Heart Healthy .com on Facebook. And I'd love to have anybody who wants to ask me a question, share a recipe, I wanted to go back to your first question, you know, also exercise. You know, as working moms, I know for me, I always could come up with an excuse of not why I couldn't exercise. Now what I've done is I figured out ways to squeeze it in and absolutely just multitask. You know, I'm taking the kids to track practice instead of sitting in the stands, you know, on Facebook or playing a game on my phone. I take my clothes to work, I change, and while they're at track practice or football practice, you know, I walk around the field. So that's 2 hours of just walking. They're running, I'm walking, you know. So you figuring out ways where you can utilize that time and multitask, but you've got to get it in every day. Every day, least 30 minutes.
Every day we got to get it in. We got to do better. We got to all do better. Well, Julia, thank you so much for sharing your survivor story, and I thank you so much again for all that you're doing. We have tagged her on Facebook and on Twitter, so I know if you're following me, twitter.com/Charvette, and connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. It's very easy. You can just click the link, and you'll go right into her pages. So my last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. What continues to motivate you?
This experience continues to motivate me, and really being determined to do everything I can to share information so not another mom has to lay in the bed like I did and wonder if they'll ever see their children again.
Wow.
And their family. I don't want anyone to ever feel that feeling. It is one of the lowest moments in my life. And, you know, I'm bound and determined never to be there again, and bound and determined to do whatever it is that I can to share information so that no other mom, child, you know, family or husband has to go through what my family went through this past year.
Outstanding. I don't think we can add anything to that or take anything away from that. Again, Julia Allen, thank you so much for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you, Charvette. It's been my pleasure.
All right. You're welcome. All right, listeners, we have a very, very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our second segment, chatting it up with a friend to the show, Tyora Moody. We call her Ty. Her new book, When Perfection Fails, will be chatting it up. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
The I Am a Pearl Women's Empowerment Conference is coming to Chicago, Illinois, Friday, May 2nd, and Saturday, May 3rd. Registration is free online at www.iamapearl.org. Join evangelist Winter Patterson for a spirit-filled two-day Women's Empowerment Conference with energetic worship, powerful preaching, dynamic workshops, and much more. Featuring Grammy-nominated recording artists Anita Wilson, Michael Essex and Vision, and Chicago's own Tina Jenkins Crawley. Register online at www.iamapearl.org.
Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day by LaTanya Boyd consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell.
Charvette Mitchell.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back again. Thank you so much for checking us out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Make sure you lock in Charvette.com and also grab our free mobile app available on iTunes, iPhones, iPads, BlackBerry, and all Android devices. All right. We're moving right on into our next segment here again. So excited to bring to the mic right now, Ty Moody, bringing to the mic right now. Hello, Ty. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Charvette?
I am awesome. I am ready to hear about When Perfection Fails. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Certainly, you're not a novice at all in the writing and literary world. And so I want to hear more about Reverend Jonathan Freeman and his lovely wife, Lenora. So tell us.
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to. When Perfection Fails is the third book the gospel series. And so at this point, you start to see kind of where the series title comes from. Reverend Freeman and his wife, she's the first lady, and he is the pastor of Victory Gospel Church, which is where I got the series title from. Now, for those who haven't read the first two books, I always tell people they're standalone mystery novels under the Christian fiction genre. So each one of the ladies who are the main characters have their own story to tell, and this one was quite a story to get through to write. So I'm looking forward to your listeners learning more and picking up the book to read it as well.
Outstanding. All right, so let's describe in this book, When Perfection Fails, let's describe Reverend Jonathan Freeman. What is his character? What is his personality like?
I'm definitely ambitious. He inherited the role of being pastor of this mega church in Charlotte, North Carolina. When the story opens, his father had just passed away. So he's kind of got the reins on this mega church that really was his father's, well, his father founded 25 years ago. So he's kind of grew up in this church. But he had some of his own plans, or he thought that he was going to go through in life. And you kind of see him.
Yeah.
Struggle with, am I really supposed to be the pastor of this church, or should I be doing this? So you definitely see that, and that's kind of causes a little bit of a rift between him and his wife, Lenora. Lenora's also pretty ambitious. She's a wedding planner. So she's got her own business. She's a female entrepreneur. She's a wife and a mother, and she also is a bit ambitious. And they kind of, their marriage, while it looks perfect outside to those who may see them on Sundays or see them in the latest magazine or newspaper article, on the inside in their home, they're kind of very distant. They've grown very distant with each other.
So they need a yalla to fix their life, huh?
They do. They definitely. She could definitely come in and help out.
And so did you find it challenging to kind of put this story together, or did you find a lot of content that you could use to say, you know what, there are a lot of people, I won't say living a double life, but living a life that is different than what is portrayed?
No, it wasn't too hard to maybe walk around with a smile on their face. You don't know what's going on, you know, when they get at home or after they leave the job. We really kind of don't dig into each other. And then, you know, that's on purpose. A lot of people don't want other people to know that things aren't quite as perfect as they seem. So it wasn't too hard, because I think that's reality. I think most people kind of prefer not to be as transparent.
Yes, we prefer to keep a facade or face up. And really, I think being transparent and authentic, people would appreciate more. But for whatever reason, we have told ourselves it's better to have a facade and up. So Lady Lenora, she has some secrets that are trying to creep up out of the closet, doesn't she?
She does. She has a very interesting secret. And those who read of the novel, they'll realize that the secret happened a long, long time ago. It happened with her and her best friend at the time. They were seniors in high school. Something happened, and they kind of kept that secret between both of them. So here they are later on in life. Lenora's, you know, kind of doing her thing. Her friend is doing her thing. She's also, her friend is very successful. Her name is Charmaine. But someone's coming back. Someone seems to know what they didn't say, or kind of one of those movies where I know what you did last summer or something like that. They kind of know what they did.
interesting. When you try to keep secrets under lock, some kind of way they always tend to slip out somewhere along the line. Listeners, if you just tuned in, hey there, we're chatting it up with Ty Moody, book out now, grab it, When Perfection Fails. This is a part of the Victory Gospel series. You can pick it up on Kindle. Where can they purchase it online?
Definitely Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. They can also get it offline at their local bookstore. They may have to order it. It definitely has a pretty good distribution to it, so you can even get it at places like Walmart. And for those of you who like e-books, definitely it's on the Kindle and the Nook.
Awesome. And I'm actually on Amazon right now. I just love real-timeness. Yes, I made up a word. And you have some great reviews on Amazon. So, listeners, I don't know if you're like me. If I'm purchasing shoes, if I'm purchasing a pocketbook, I always look at the previous reviewers. So there's great reviews. A young lady named Maureen gave it 5 stars. She said, this is the 3rd book I've read in the Victory Gospel series, and we are reunited with old friends. Once you begin turning the pages, you won't stop. It is a quick and compelling read that keeps your attention right to the end. All right. Big shout out to Maureen on Amazon.com there. And so tell us, within the book, are there certain themes that you really want listeners to walk away with, any lessons you want to teach with this particular book?
Yes, with this one, probably the biggest theme comes from just that maybe superwoman mentality that women have. We all are great, we think we are great multitaskers. We kind of take on the world. We are doing things for our husbands or for our children, people at church. And there does come a moment where Lenore is like, she really gets, she breaks down. It's like she's done too much. She's gone overboard. And sometimes when you get too busy, you forget to bring God into the situation. You forget, well, did you really ask and pray and ask for discernment, you know, should you have taken on this particular thing? I really want listeners to read this to kind of, at least for me, it was an eye-opening lesson for me because I'm one of those people who can stay too busy sometimes. And I literally, after I finished writing this book, I kind of walked away like, this is one of the characters I probably related to even more so than the other two, because I was like, I could have put my name in there, and it would have easily fit my personality. So I think other women, and maybe even men, may find that as well. And there's another theme that comes out in her kind of best friend. It's not really a best friend. It's more of a toxic relationship where, because they had this secret between them, she kind of stays friends with a person who really wasn't, you know, good for her. So sometimes we have to weed out people in our lives that aren't good for us. So I think that's definitely a theme that runs throughout, too.
Wow. And how many people are in that situation in real life? They are friends, or they maintain what you just classified as a toxic relationship because maybe that person has something on them, or maybe, you know, the old adage is better to keep enemies closer, keep friends close and keep enemies closer, you know. And so, well, Reverend Jonathan Freeman and Lady Lenora, you can find out all about the rest of the story, When Perfection Fails. Again, tell them how they can purchase a copy and get a hold of that online.
Sure, they can definitely go to any of the online retailers like Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com, and they can download a copy or purchase the paperback.
Great, great, great. Now, I don't want to leave out that you are an entrepreneur as well. So you actually help other authors get their books out and get promoted. Talk a little bit about that side. And you do the web design. You do a whole bunch of stuff. So talk a little bit about Ty Web and Creations.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Ty Web and Creations has been around since 1999. My first client was an author. I tell people this is by no way any design of mine, but the majority of my clients have been authors over the years, so I've learned a lot about book marketing, about packaging and branding yourself as an author long before I got my first book deal. So it's a joy to continue to work with authors. I've kind of pared back some of my services. I don't do the web design, part, at least for this year, that was one of my lessons learned after writing this book. You kind of let go of some services, only work with services you really can handle. So, yeah, I continue to do that, like book covers, book trailers, and definitely I like to help other authors really discover ways to book market creatively.
Wonderful. How can people find out about your services?
I'm sure they can go to Ty Webbin Creations, that's TYWEBBIN creations.com.
All right. So what is next in the next series? Are you going to be having another book as well that's going to add on to this series?
Yes. I love you, Legacy. Are you sure this is the last book? It is officially the last book of the Victory Crystal series. But there's one character who shows up in all three books. She's going to get her own series. Her name is Serena Manchester. That's actually going to be the name of the series. So her book, Hostile Eyewitness, will be out in April 2015.
Oh, wow. So we will have to keep our eyes and our ears open for that. I love it. I love it. Tell listeners how they can connect with you on Twitter and Facebook and all those great social networking sites.
I'm sure probably my website is tyoramoody.com, and from there you can kind of get links to all my social media. I'm usually Tyora Moody, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Google+, pretty much my name. I'm going to try to brand it everywhere I am.
All right. Fabulous, fabulous. And what would you say is your number one tip for authors that are really trying to market their books? Do you have one main tip or your top tip that you would give to an author that you know, maybe checking out the show and or getting ready or thinking about writing a book?
Sure. The main tip is to have a book marketing plan. A lot of authors kind of just jump into the fray and they're not really sure where to start. So those are some of the things that I do, but definitely you have to have a plan of action because you do get tired, you do get weary, and sometimes if you're looking at what other people are doing, thinking that that's something you can do, you know, you kind of really need to step back and customize your own plan for your own books, for your own personality, you know, so that you can be a winner in what you do.
All right. Great advice, great advice. And my last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I'm telling you, the art of storytelling. It was a lost art for me for a while, but I'm glad that God brought me back to writing and just really enjoying stories, the art of storytelling. Very passionate about them. Glad that I get to do it.
The art of storytelling. That's good. I like that. I like that. Well, you know what? People are buying books every day, all day long, and so there's never too much. There are never too many books on the market, and there's enough genres for everybody to jump in and be successful with it. So we shout you out, and we're excited about your latest book, and certainly we will have you back for more and upcoming projects that you have going on. Great. All right. Well, I think that is going to take care of it. Listeners, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back to our third segment. We're going to be chatting it up, talking to Pastor James L. Monteria. I'm telling you what, a lot of talk, a lot of buzz about heaven lately because of the new movie, Heaven is for Real. So he's joining us. We're going to be talking about his new book, A Blessing, Blessings Beyond the Blue and Horror Beneath the Grave. And he is going to talk about heaven and hell. If you have questions, you can tweet us, you can text us, you can inbox us, and he's going to help you out with that. So listen, we're going to be right back after this very quick commercial break. Don't you go anywhere.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
There are many basic benefits of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ that will take a lifetime and maybe eternity to learn. In the new book, Come and Learn of Me, author and speaker James L. Monteria offers insight and encouragement that will ignite you with a passion to know more about Jesus. Pick up your copy of Come and Learn of Me today and visit clmministries.org. That's clmministries.org to learn more and purchase your copy.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book?
Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out Mitchell-Productions.com or find them at Facebook.com/Mitchell Productions.
Joy Fest is coming back to Richmond. It's your man, Kirk Franklin.
It hurts, y'all, but still.
And what's up, God's people? I want you to join me for a day of worship and music Saturday, July 19th at King's Dominion. Joy Fest also features Sherry Shepherd, Tamela Mann, and your MC, Bone Hampton.
And just added, Canton Jones. Get the best price now and save $5 when you buy early bird tickets through June 20th by phone at 800-745-3000 or online at Ticketmaster.com. And your ticket to the festival gets you into the park, too, for a full day of fun and rides as King's Dominion celebrates 40 years of family fun, thrills, and memories.
Feel the joy, people, at King's Dominion, July 19th, Saturday. I can't wait to see you there. With me, your boy, Kirk Franklin, Sherry Shepherd, and Tamela Mann.
Also featuring Canton Jones.
I want you to join me at Joy Fest, July 19th at King's Dominion.
Tickets and more details available online at joyfest.org.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Again, check me out at Charvette.com, my main website. You can listen to all past shows there. Also, connect with me on Twitter, Twitter.com/Charvette, and, of course, Facebook.com/Charvette. And, go ahead and download my mobile app. Yes, grab my free mobile app, which is available for all of your Apple products, your Android products, and BlackBerry. That's right. Big shout-out to all those that listen in from the mobile app. We appreciate you. All right, we're rolling right on into our third segment. I'm delighted to have Pastor James L. Monteria joining us. He's been hanging out in the virtual green room, and I'm telling you what, he has ministered the word of God for the past 20 years through seminars, church services, Bible studies, prison ministries. He has several books, CDs, and DVDs available, and really is a teacher, you know, of the word, and so he is here to talk today. Again, he has several books out. We're going to be focusing our attention today on Blessings Beyond the Blue and Horror Beneath the Grave. I'm bringing him to the mic right now so we can learn some more information. Hello, Pastor James Monteria. Welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you, Charvette. I count it indeed a blessing and a privilege to be on your show.
Awesome. We are glad to have you. Oh, boy, let's jump right on in. So certainly this book you wrote, as I mentioned, a lot of talk of buzz recently about heaven and the new movie that's out, Heaven Is For Real. But you've had your book out before the movie, so I want to make that clear. But talk a little bit about why you wrote this particular book.
Well, basically my purpose for writing this book is because I approach it from the perspective, when a person goes on a vacation, they want to become familiar with the place where they're going and want to make sure that they go to the best sites or the best places to enjoy their vacation. And then I begin to think about, well, everyone wants to go to heaven. So mm-hmm. What is it like in heaven? And so I began really approximately about 10 years ago to examine the Word of God to see what thus saith the Lord in reference to the subject of heaven. And basically, in just talking with different people, they say, I want to go to heaven, but I ask them, uh-huh. What does heaven have in store for you? And so no one can ever give me an answer beyond the streets are paved with gold and you'll be there with Jesus. But one of my favorite scriptures that kind of helped me in my research was Psalm 16 and verse 11. It says that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there is pleasure forevermore. And so I began to examine the scriptures to find out all the wonderful things that God has in store for us. And then what I decided to do was to begin to do research on different individuals that said they had been taken to heaven and sent back or allowed to come back to the earth. And so it's really been exciting, the things that I've learned. And
yeah.
I'm just looking forward to that day when I am there with my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, my loving Heavenly Father, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, so am I, so am I. And so, okay, great. So you talk to people because, you know, certainly that's the debate. If there are people debating, well, really, could someone have gone and seen it and come back and, you know, were they just dreaming or were they just, you know, is this really real? And so that's where some people are struggling with the movie that's out that you hear, you know, in the news and all that. So, but you actually talk to some people, real life, talk to some people. What are some of the things that they had to say?
Well, basically, my research has been covering probably about 100 years of different people that have gone, 16 different individuals, basically from the age of 8 years old and on up. And what I found out that what they were sharing is kind of consistent with each person's vision, but with just a little more being revealed each time. And so they talk about the different types of mansions that we have in heaven. They talk about the atmosphere that we have in heaven, that there's peace, there's joy, there is music playing in the background. They talk about how people, you know, get along and people from all different cultures. They talk about the plants in heaven, the trees in heaven, the animals in heaven. But, you know, it's really amazing because I had an opportunity to go see the movie Heaven Is So Real. And
yeah.
I walked away from that movie wondering, do people really believe in heaven? I mean, I was excited, and I had no problem with the young man sharing what he saw because the Bible says that the average age of a person in heaven is about 30 years old. Now, what does the Bible say? Jesus says, as you see me, we're going to be around the same age that he is when he passed and when he was resurrected. He's about 30 years old, 33, right around that early 30s. And so I look and examine, you know, what kind of food you're going to have in heaven. We eat here on earth, but when Jesus reappeared to his disciples, did he not eat with them? Did he not break bread with them? So what kind of food we're going to have in heaven? What kind of clothes we're going to have where? And also, the amazing thing that I found out, probably if there's something as a sad day in heaven, it will be when the true believer has been brought to heaven and then they discover the wonderful things that God had for them that they could have enjoyed on earth, but they never laid claim on it.
Wow.
I read after several individuals where they were taken to this warehouse. And this warehouse is huge. And it has people names on different blessings. But they never laid claim on it why they were in the earth. They kept putting everything off to when they got to heaven. But it was
wow.
Good for them to enjoy them while we're here. Now, I'm going to go a little bit out on the edge. And most people have a problem with this because I shared with a young lady that was having a liver problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, do you know that God has body parts in heaven? And so I said, I just want to be in agreement with you and lay claim that you will receive a new liver.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened?
What happened?
You want to know what happened? She received
yes.
a new liver, but no one would believe her. So it's kind of like when you walk away from that movie, Heaven Is So Real, the young man was telling the things that he saw. And, you know, at first his family didn't believe him. And when they kind of shared it with other people, they thought they were crazy. So all I'm saying to you, heaven is real. And I believe that what is happening, God is revealing more and more what heaven is like. Because the time is getting closer and closer
yeah.
to Jesus returning. And so in my book, I talk about the different types of mansions. I talk about the record room. The Bible says that every idle word that we speak, every deed that we do is recorded. And then there was a gentleman that was taken to the record room. A couple of the people that I interviewed, they actually went to this huge library. And there is a book on every individual on planet Earth. And their deeds, their activities are being recorded. But then one angel showed this particular individual what happened when a person received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The records was pulled, and the book was washed with the blood of Jesus.
So my God.
Everything that they did prior to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ was removed. And guess what? They will not be held accountable for the things that they did in their old life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that transpired is they keep a record of the things that you do once you're born again. And what happened is when you get to heaven, you get rewarded for the things that you do for Christ.
Wow.
So all I'm just saying to you is it was fantastic in doing this research, and it just really blessed me. And I found such a comfort. I've had the opportunities to do homegoing services. And
yes.
Just doing the eulogy. And the last one that I did was for a young child. And when I said to the mother and the parents, I said, there is a place in heaven where the children go. And there is baby furniture, there is baby clothes. And actually what happened in heaven, when a child goes to heaven, where the child dies of a legitimate death or if a child is aborted, that child goes to heaven and remains there, and they are looking forward to the day that their mother will join them. And so it's just awesome, the wonderful things that I've learned about heaven and what God has before for his people.
Awesome research. Awesome that you took the time to put this together. Blessings beyond the blue, horrors beneath the grave. Now, the main title, Blessings Beyond the Blue, but we've got to hit on why did you make kind of the subtitle, Horrors Beneath the Grave?
Well, it's like this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. In other words, a person on the earth has to make a decision that they want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did, I wrote it in this perspective that they can see or begin to know some of the things that God will have in store for them. Now, just the opposite. Now, this is how much God loves us. He has prepared heaven for those that love him. But now, unfortunately, in society, there are people that want nothing to do with God. So as awesome as heaven is, hell is just as horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, there are individuals that have been taken to hell to make a record and come back and share. And I can say this in all honesty. You don't want your worst enemy to go to hell, because hell is a place that is totally separated from God. Here in the earth, we have God's presence. We have God's creation. But in hell, it is void of anything that God has to offer. For in heaven, you have light. You have a mansion. You have food. You have clothes to wear. You have parks to go to visit. You have an ocean where you go go swimming. You have ponds. You have lakes. You have trees. In hell, it is totally dark, and you are tormented 24/7. And the demons and evil spirits that are there, see, they used to be in heaven at one time, but they fell with Lucifer, and they hate anything that God has created. And so one of the things that God really loves is mankind. And so they have their pleasure come from being tormenting the people that had an opportunity to go to heaven but chose not to.
My God.
Again, some people don't find it hard, but you have worms, you have snakes, you have spiders, you have mouses, you have heat, you have cold in hell, and you're that tormented 24/7. This is the one thing that I was really, really surprised about doing my research on hell. There was a young lady that used to be in the church. Now, this could be men also, but this one young lady, she was in the church. She was born again. She loved the Lord, but she were getting some medicine from a friend that she knew illegally. And the Lord came to her and told her to stop that. And she stopped for a while, but mm-hmm. she went back doing it. And when this person that knew her, that had a visit to hell, he saw her. And she was amazed that she was there because she used to be a Christian. She was a soul winner. She did work in the church. But what happened, she was disobedient to what the Lord told her to do. And she found herself in hell, tormented. So all I'm saying to you, this life is nothing to play with. The decisions that you make while on planet Earth will affect you for eternity. So it's up to us as individuals to choose where we want to spend eternity. And so in my book, I describe the different types of torment, tortures that individuals go through. There was one lady, and she was a witch, and she won something like 500 souls for the devil. And when she went to hell, she thought she was going to be rewarded. But see, Satan is deceived, and everyone that followed him is deceived, so she was deceived. And the way that it would explain, she was put in like an arena, and they would attack her, torment her, just like in the olden days when you had the gladiators.
Yes.
People in an arena. The way that this person shared what they saw, that's what they did with this witch, because she was looking forward to some great rewards because she served the devil. And the devil, being the devil that he is, he deceived her, and she was working for him, and now she is in hell today being tormented.
My God.
So it's just great, the research, the things that I found out. And believe me, my sincerity, my seriousness about God has gone to a whole different level, because once I have gotten this understanding of what is transpiring, and if you think about it, there are people that are in hell, if you think about it, back from the days of Noah, and they have been there all this time. And then when the end comes, the Bible says that they can be brought up before the great white throne of God and be judged based upon the evil deeds, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire. So now, can you imagine somebody being in hell for, say, 6,000 years?
My God.
Be brought up for judgment and then cast in the lake of fire for eternity.
Yeah, ooh, heaven, we want to go to heaven. And so I think anyone listening, any listener, if you are not convinced at this point that you want to go to heaven, even if you are not sure what step you need to take, hopefully listening to this broadcast, listening to this show, our goal is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we hope we influence your decision if you hadn't made your mind up, whether number one, whether heaven was real or not. Hopefully your mind is made up now. And two, that you want to be on that track. And so blessings beyond the blue, horror beneath the grave. Pastor James, how can people get a hold of this?
We do have a website where we can provide you with copies. It's called CLM Productions, clmpublications.info, also clmministries.org, or you can go to Amazon.com, you can go to Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold, and you can get a copy via their website or via their stores. And so we have this book available or you can either call my ministry at area code 804-475-3155, and we will be glad to supply you with a copy. And let me just say this. If you have any family members that are not saved, I would encourage you to get this book in their hands, because heaven is real, and whether they believe it or not, hell is real also.
Absolutely. And I think this is a great opportunity with this movie being out. That's why I keep referencing the movie, because that it's a media, the media is talking about it, so it's a great conversation starter to say, you know, whereas before you might not have felt how, like you didn't know how to bring the topic up or you didn't know how to talk about it, but you have this movie, you can piggyback off of this movie and get the conversation started so that people can really start thinking about, you know, where they're going to end up. Because like you said, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, so that people have opportunity to get themselves prepared.
Yes. And the way that you get prepared is that two questions are going to be asked. Number one, God the Father is going to ask this question: what did you do with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And number two, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? So to get to prepare to go to heaven is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. It is an individual situation, and you must deal with it as an individual by receiving
Absolutely.
Him. Yes, as your own personal Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. And, you know, Pastor James, I know this is not in the interview questions are not the norm that we do per se on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, but I would love for you to just take a moment and pray for someone that may be listening who just says, I want to accept Jesus into my life, into my heart. So would you mind providing that prayer now?
It will be a great honor and privilege. And I just want to preface this by saying this. This is what I did. I didn't really know a whole lot about the things of God, but I mm-hmm. knew that life was kind of kicking my behind. And I got on my knees. I got saved outside the church. I got on my knees one night. It was a Friday night. And I said, Heavenly Father, I believe that you're God. I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross and you raised him from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, I ask that you forgive me my sins, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And that's all I did. And I got up that next morning. I was a brand-new creature in Christ. So what I'm saying to the listeners, just pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. Heavenly Father, I believe that you are God. I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross for my sins. And he was resurrected from the dead for my justification. Heavenly Father, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Satan, I denounce you in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that I belong to you through thy Son, my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I purpose in my heart to live my life for you from this day forward. And Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you that I am now your child through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that I did. Now, I want more to say one additional thing.
Yes.
See, we've heard the saying that we are all the children of God. And I'm going to make a statement that I can back it up with the scripture. We are all the creations of God, but through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the ability to become sons and daughters of God. And that's only through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. So if you
Amen.
Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe that he died on the cross, just receive him now as your own personal Lord and Savior, and go tell someone, I've made a decision to be a child of God through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's all you have to do.
Amen. Nothing difficult. It is that simple. It is that simple. Well, thank you, Pastor James Monteria. Thank you so much again for putting together this book, putting the research out so that people can really come to the realization that heaven is real and that you've got some things backed up.
It's indeed a blessing and a privilege to share it with you and share it with your audience. And so I just encourage people to. So it's out of curiosity, examine the book, and then verify it with the Holy Scriptures. And I promise you, by the Word of God, that your life will be blessed and you'll never be the same.
Amen. One more time, tell people how they can contact you and get a hold of the book.
Yes, we have several websites. You can go to clmministries.org. You can go to clmpublications.org. Info. You can call myself or my office at area code 804-475-3155, and we can supply you with a copy, or you can go to any of the book stores outlet, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, the different medias that offer books. They have access to the books, and you can get a copy.
Outstanding, outstanding. Thank you so much again for stopping by the show. We appreciate you.
Thank you, and I really appreciate being a guest. Thank you.
Oh, awesome, awesome. All right, listeners, well, that actually is going to be a wrap for today. We thank you so much for joining us. We trust that something that was said or done impacted your life today. I feel like the show certainly feels that way to me. So until we meet again, connect with us at charvette.com. As always, twitter.com, charvette, and facebook.com/charvette. And we will see you next time.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.